ఆది అంతా కలిపేస్తున్నారు.
హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ప్రేమ కృష్ణ భాగ్యాన శిక్షకు O Indra, Dvishata, your enemies, Asya, Jasi, Prakshina, being very weak, Guru Atikrama, because disrespecting their Guru, Samprati, at the present moment, Hukushatan, powerful, Uya, Ardain, Avyam, spiritual master, Araja, worshipping Bhaktita with great devotion. Adadiran may take away Nilayanam abode Mama, mine, Api, even Bhrigu Devata, who are now strong devotees of Sukhacharya, the disciple of Bhrigu. Translation of Indra, her enemies, the demons, were extremely weak because of their disrespect towards Sukracharya, but since they have now worshipped Sukracharya with great devotion, they have again become powerful. By their devotion to Sukracharya, they have increased their strength so much that now they are even able to easily seize my abode from me. Therefore, Lord Brahma wanted to point out to the demigods that by the strength of the Guru, one can become most powerful within this world, and by the displeasure of the Guru, one can lose everything. This is confirmed by the song of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Although the demons are insignificant in comparison to Lord Brahma, because of the strength of their Guru, they were so powerful that they could even seize Brahmaloka from Lord Brahma. We therefore pray to the spiritual master, Mukham Kroti Vlachalam, Pongalam, Gayate Girim, Yakriva Tamalam, Hamban, Deshidrum, Dinataranam. By the mercy of the Guru, even a dumb man can become the greatest orator, and even a layman can cross mountains. As advised by Lord Brahma, one should remember the Shastra conjunction one desires success in life. Translation of Indra, your enemies, the demons, were extremely weak because of their disrespect towards Sukracharya, but since they have now worshipped Sukracharya with great devotion, they have again become powerful. By their devotion to Sukracharya, they have increased their strength so much that they are now even able to easily seize my abode from me. So here we see Brahma speaking to Indra, and he's explaining the situation. And we see two examples. One is the disrespect shown by Indra to his guru, Brihaspati. And then we find the demons, they are worshipping their guru, Sukracharya. So the Devatas become weak because Indra has disrespected Brihaspati. And the demons become strong because they respected their guru, Sukracharya. Now, of course, what is the difference between these two gurus? There's a great difference, because Brihaspati is guru for the Devatas and Sukracharya is guru for the demons. And he is famous for advising Bali not to surrender also. So technically, we don't even class him as a guru in one sense, because he's a demon. Or at least he is siding with the demons and giving demonic advice. So he's not the person that a Vaishnava is going to surrender to. Nevertheless, it says here, by respecting him, the demons got great power. So, at least the principle is there that one should respect the guru or the authority, and by doing so, one gets a certain type of power. Now, what is this power, of course? This has nothing to do with spiritual life. The power that the demons are getting is material power. And the power that the Devatas lost was material power. So it is not actually on the highest level of spiritual life. So, nevertheless, we have a principle applying in the material world between Devatas and demons. But the same can be applied for the Vaishnavas. So, by offense,
then we lose our spiritual power. And by service, we get our spiritual power. So we do not care about the material aspects of getting power, like going to Brahma Loka or Svarga Loka or whatever. These are not the goals of devotees. However, the significant gain or loss is that by respect, one gets spiritual advancement, and by disrespect, one gets spiritual demotion, so to speak, or weakness. So we can use this example here of the devatas and demons to show, respectively, the on a material level, what happens on a spiritual level also. So the principle is there in the material world. Also, we find in the Varnashram system, respect is given. So there are various objects of respect. Respect to the parents, respect to the elders, respect to a rich man, respect to a higher caste. This, of course, is all material. And by doing so, we get material results, good material results. And by disrespect, we get bad material results, just like in the case of Supercharya or whatever. So that's a general principle. But, of course, behind that is the principle that that respect, whether it is age or caste or whatever, supposedly that person should be more advanced. In other words, Sattva-gun is better than Rajagun and Tamagun, therefore Brahmins get the respect of the other Varnas. Or the Kshatriya gets the respect of the other Varnas, lower Varnas, because he is superior in Guna to the people in Tamagun and Rajagun. And one who is elder is supposed to be more advanced spiritually. Technically, he has more experience, so therefore he should know something more and have purity, more purity than those who are younger. So therefore, age is a consideration. And again, parents are given respect by the children because they, again, have experience and knowledge, etc. So, a lot of the respect is because of experience and knowledge. But, of course, a lot of that is material stuff. But still, as in the spiritual realm, we say that by respecting the man of knowledge, then one gets knowledge. So, one gets knowledge spiritually, so in the same way in the material world. So therefore, for material subjects, they also have the same principle. So therefore, the music teacher gets the respect of the students by very, very humbly submitting, then he eventually gets the mercy of the guru and gets his knowledge. So we see that quite obvious in many traditions. Not only there, we'll say in Silpi or any other, even crafts and whatever. And by serving the teacher, then one gets the knowledge. So that is the in the material world, we get material knowledge and whatever. So the same principle applies spiritually. So therefore, by respecting the person with spiritual knowledge, one gets spiritual knowledge. And by disrespecting him, we do not get that knowledge. Of course, traditionally there were a few practical means by which this didn't take place, because the people who have spiritual knowledge had it in their head. There were no books. So if you wanted to get the knowledge, they would have to speak it. No libraries, no books. So therefore, they were at the mercy of the speaker. And if he didn't speak, and he didn't get pleased with you, then he wouldn't speak, then he wouldn't get the knowledge. So that was a very practical thing. And of course, there were considerations of gunas. So Tamagun people could not get Vedas. You're not supposed to speak the Vedas to the sudras in Tamagun, etc. So there were some practical rules there for who gets the knowledge and whatever. And beyond that, if there was respect, then the guru would give the knowledge. So in Kali Yuga, of course, that has changed, because we do have recorded knowledge. The Vedas are written form, and there's libraries now, etc. So many things. That's, of course, recently, 500 years ago, again, though there were written words, still, by and large, it was rare. Only if you were a king or something, you had a library, otherwise you didn't. So most people didn't have access to all the Puranas and the books and everything. It's only in the modern age that everybody has access. So, that, of course, does not overlook the principle that one still has to accept the teacher. Because, in spite of the fact that all the words are there, Bhagavatam is there, Puranas are there, Mahabharata is there, Vedas are there, Upanishads are there, nobody understands it anyway. They read it and they get all the wrong meanings. So even the clearest book possible, that is Bhagavatam, which is the essence of everything, and the final result, you can also misunderstand that. Because Sukadeva and Vyasadeva have produced it in such a way that if you want, you can get the wrong meaning. So in that sense, they're just like Mohini avatar. Mohini gives the nectar to the devatas and takes it away from the demons. So Bhagavatam is written in such a way that if you read it one way, then you can accept an impersonal conclusion. If you accept another way, then you understand that Krishna is the object of worship. So opportunity is given there to completely misunderstand the whole Bhagavatam if you want to, if you really want to. So therefore, we have to be very careful in reading that we do take it through authorized sources. So that's what we have, parampara system, etc. So we get the knowledge in the proper way and we get the proper meaning of the scriptures. In spite of the fact that the words are written here and everything. So that is the main idea. So therefore we do need to give proper respect, and then the person gives the knowledge. So in spite of the fact we do have books and everything still, the knowledge has to be explained in the proper way, otherwise we don't get the proper meaning. So, here the David is disrespected their guru, and therefore they lost their power. And the demons respected their guru, and they got power. So, but it's all material. Huh? But behind this, we do have the Supreme Lord, who supports the devatas, and does not support the demons. So in that sense, yes, the Supreme Lord's will is also involved, and Brahma is his representative. So therefore, the devatas should actually be in power, and they should win the battle, even though it's a material position or whatever, in terms of gunas. Sattva guna is better than tamaguna and rajaguna. So to keep the peace in the material world, the devatas have to be in power. And that is the will of the Lord also, even though that's still material. So, therefore, Brahma is advising the devatas that they're going to have to do something to get the balance of power back so the devas get in control. Spiritual, but here is it's another principle in the material world. You disrespect and you lose all your powers also. So, of course, besides the direct knowledge, which is the most important thing, then you can get other bad effects. So if you do a sinful activity, then you get a suffering, isn't it? So if you disrespect a person, that is also a sin, therefore you get a bad effect from it. Of course, the devotees don't care about that. The bad effects and the material losses in the material world are not a problem, but for materialists, definitely it is. So they lament the material effects of the disrespect. Well, it's important for the spiritual aspect. So, in other words, if we disrespect, then we lose our bhakti. And if we respect, then our bhakti goes smoothly. So we get mercy. So by disrespect, then we lose mercy of Krishna. So if we lose mercy, then we cannot advance. And we can actually destroy our bhakti in the process also. So that is the mad elephant offense. Well, yeah, because knowledge is given, but then what is that knowledge? It's not simply Krishna's blue. Okay, that's a piece of knowledge. Or Krishna has a certain pastime. Okay, that's the knowledge. But behind that is something else. That is that the realization of that also is there. So, when a person with faith speaks the Bhagavatam, the same words as a person who doesn't have faith, the effect is different. One, you get a realization and faith, the other you don't. So that is the another aspect of knowledge, the realization part of it. So a materialist can study the Bhagavatam and get some material knowledge and be a scholar or something in university. And they can be a very, very knowledgeable Bhagavatam. Or the Bhagavad Saptaha speakers can learn all the different pastimes and everything like that. You can do that, but they may not have any faith in Krishna at all. So then the effect of that is completely useless. Because the conclusion is, you won't get faith in Krishna by that as Supreme Lord. You may get faith in Him as a material entity, but not as a Supreme Lord. So therefore, this is useless. So that element is there in your knowledge also.
We find that even when a qualified teacher is there, not many of the souls are able to take the actual meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Well, that is because they're also not qualifying, so the student has to be qualified also. And the student is not qualified, then he listens and doesn't get the knowledge. Which means if the person doesn't respect properly, then he can't get the knowledge. And if he's inattentive or has no interest in it, then he cannot get the knowledge. There's many reasons that he's not interested in the knowledge, obviously. How can you force him to take it?
When we give people books to read and things like that, but you still have to assign a personal guide for the person to understand.
Well, something can be done, because the books themselves are not the scripture, they're usually their explanations also. But still, people have questions. And generally they're not inclined to do anything on their own. Somebody has to really push them a little bit before they actually engage in any devotional service. I mean, read the book and put it on the shelf, that's it, fine. So it's a much slower process that way. So usually some association is required. Sadhu means the others, the acharyas, etc.
महाराज की जो भक्ति की।